a subject that I have never preached much on before, but I want to preach on the word decisions. How many knows that decisions is something that you do hundreds of, make decisions every day? You make a decision where you're going to get up out of bed in the morning. You make your decision what you're going to do that day. You make hundreds of decisions. When you're caught in a tight place in the traffic, you make a decision whether you're going to take a chance or whether you're going to put somebody else's life at stake. You make that decision. And so there's so many decisions that we make every day. But what I want to talk about tonight is the big decisions that we make in life. I want to say to the young people, you know, Ecclesiastes said, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day come not or the years draw nigh. Every one of you adults that's of age and older, you've made decisions in your life, and I have too, that we're sorry for. Huh? But the decision that you made that you're proud of, that you know the Lord, that He canceled out all those bad decisions and put you in with a decision. Billy Graham, in his services, I've heard him times past and different times I've heard him preach. He always told the people to come to the altar and make a decision. Come down and make a decision. Now, decision simply means this, to make up or cause to make up one's mind. To make up your mind or to cause you to make up your mind. Another is to make a decision about a controversy or dispute after thinking things over. Let's read that again. To make a decision about a controversy or a dispute. See, you have to make disputes. How many families have disputes? There are nations in a dispute right now. All kinds of disputes. And it says to make a decision about a controversy. There's controversy on every hand today. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, Paul said. To make a decision about a controversy or a dispute after thinking things over. Now, a decision, when it's really concluded, is called decided. Decided means that it's absolutely a concrete thing that you have decided on it. You're not in a period of deciding or decision. You have decided. I have decided to serve the Lord regardless of what anybody else does. I am decided that I'm going to do things right regardless of what anybody else does. See, there's so much controversy and indecision today. How many knows you got about 40 different kinds of Bibles? I'm decided I'm going to be a King James man, a Jesus man. And I'm not going to get off track on something else. I made that decision and finally I decided. All kinds of decisions. There's decisions that we've made in our childhood and in our youth that still haunts us today if we'll let it. So decide means that you have decided to make the decision concrete. You know, people make decisions one day and break them the next. How many knows that? As I say, all those people you see going down in Billy Graham's campaigns, probably maybe half of them will decide that that's it. Right now, I'm starting with God. I've decided to stick with Him. It's not just a decision anymore. So let's turn our Bibles, and it's talking here about in the book of Joel. In the book of Joel, he's talking about the last days, when everything's in a turmoil. How many know it? I'll say this. This is kind of funny, but God gave it to me, so I'll say this. Hardly anybody knows how to decide to make a decision anymore. Huh? We got 300 and some of them up there in the House of Representatives and a great amount in the Senate. They don't know how to decide to make a decision. That's sad, isn't it? We got all the foreign countries over there in the Middle East. They can't decide to behave themselves and quit killing each other. Multitudes and multitudes of them getting killed. But they don't never decide to do something. They just make a temporary decision instead of deciding. Listen, when we in this thing with God, we don't make temporary decisions. We decide that He's God and we're going to let Him make our decision. When we let God make our decisions and God do the deciding for us, so there's different things that we might look at. We might make a decision. What is right? and what is wrong? Well, there's different ways you could look at that. You could look at it politically. You could look at it legally. You could look at it in various other forms, morally. But have we looked at it in the eyes of Jesus? In the eyes of Jesus is what will make us decide that our decision is right or wrong. I had a young preacher one time. He told me things wasn't going to suit him. Wasn't getting no places to preach or something like that. And he said, I'm going to do something even if it's wrong. Oh, what a bad decision to even say that. He done it, and he's still paying for it. Because he can never seem to climb that hump back to where he was when he had a good decision, and he never did finish up to decide that God's right and he's wrong. See, if God be for us, who can be against you? That tells us a story. How many knows if God be for you, who can be against you? Who is it? If you decide the right thing, the devil is against you. He's against you, but if God be for you, who can be against you? So we know who it is. It's the devil. We're going to take a scripture here, and I want to say this to our young people again, these two young boys here. Just let God make your decisions, or you'll regret it in your life ahead. And that is words of wisdom from somebody that's been through all this kind of stuff. All right, Joel chapter 3, verse 9 through 14. Proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Verse 11, assemble yourselves and come, all ye brethren, and gather yourselves together and about thither. Cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up in the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Verse 13, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. How many believes the harvest is ripe? Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Here's the text. Multitudes and multitudes. That's many, many. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of what? In the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, I don't know how it looks to you, but it looks to me like just about anything and any way you go anywhere in the whole world, there's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, and no one knows how to decide what to do. Hardly anybody knows how to decide what to do. But there's multitudes, multitudes in valleys of decision. And the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. He's near. He's near to tell us what to do. How many knows if he's near, then we can talk to him. In a valley of decision is a time when we don't know what to do. We're in the valley. It don't say in the mountaintop of decisions. It said in the valley of decision. In multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So decide is to make up or cause to make up one's mind about a controversy or a dispute. After thinking things over, they decided. So decided means, this, you can look it up in your dictionary, decided means without a doubt. I want to ask you a question here tonight. Have we all decided without a doubt that everything that we're doing is right? That everything is God? See, if my decision is God's decision, then I'm all right. But if I listen to somebody else about a decision, and I take their word for a decision, I might be wrong. But if I'm listening to God, turn your Bible to Matthew 7:24. That's why it's talking about God making our decisions. God tells us what to do. How many believes God answers your prayer? God tells you what to do. He helps you make your decision. You have to have it to coincide and be in corporate with God's decision. See, I have to get God's word, make my decision or decide on something. You know, a preacher could get two messages on his mind. He could have a hard time deciding which one to preach. But after a while, he talks to God, and God said, that one. But I don't want to preach that one, Lord. That's the one. When you listen to God, what does it say that? Matthew 7:24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? And decides to do them, in other words. I'll put that word decide in. And decide, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and when the rain descended, and when the flood came, it beat upon that house, and it stood because it was founded upon a rock. But the other that was founded on the sand was vice versa. It was a poor decision. This, everything that I'm reading in the Bible all the time, it's decisions that God has made. It's decisions that people have made, decisions. Jacob made a decision. He said, I'm going to wrestle with this angel all night long. I'm staying here until I hear from you. I'm staying here. I'm going to wrestle. I don't care. He's limped the rest of his life, but he stayed there. He had decided that he was going to get back to God. He was going to get rid of his past. He was going to get rid of what he had done to his father-in-law, to his father, to his mother, and to his brother, and to all concerned. And he said, I'm going to stay till I get a hold of God. I have to have God. I've got to decide, and I've got to make a decision that's decisive tonight so I can decide. You know, when he got done wrestling, he met Esau. Esau forgave him. But then God said to his heart, it's time to go across the brook now, and let me tell you about that decision that you made years ago on your way down to your father-in-law's house. Before you were married, when you was running from your brother Esau, when you had played the part of a crook, when you had done everything wrong, when you had been to the place where you were hypocritical about everything. Now you've got a chance here to wrestle this through. You've won tonight. You're hopping around on the leg, but you won. You got the victory. You're no longer Jacob. Your name's even changed to Israel. He made a quality decision and decided that he was going to listen to God. Well, what did God do? He reminded him of the vow that he made when his head was on a pillow of stone one night, when he was running, when he was in badly need of a friend. And he promised God, if you'll take me down and you'll bring me back, I will build you a house here. I'll build you a house. I'll build you a church here. If you just do this, Lord. Well, you know what he done? He picked up his belongings and went across the brook and settled there on the place where he had laid his head upon the pillar, a stone there which represented Christ, and there he built God a house. That's called decision, not just decision. It is decided. He decided. I like that song, I have decided to what? How many has decided to follow Jesus? This community is just like every other community I've ever been in. People are following one another instead of Christ. How many knows that God puts leadership in churches? I'll tell you, this is evangelistic tonight, if you'll take it that way. But we have to get ourselves decided that we're going to listen to God. Every man's got to hear from God. Is this God? You have to make a decision. Is that of God or is it not? How do you check it out? You check it out by the Scripture, the Word. The Word is what checks it out. It's not somebody's idea or somebody. You go up and ask somebody what they think. Ain't no telling what's going to come out their mouth. But if you ask them what the Bible said, they'll say, I don't know. Great advisors in the communities, you know, they're all everywhere. I'm not talking about around here. They're here, but they're everywhere I know of. The multitudes and multitudes, they're in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord's in there in the valley of decision, and the decision they make the need to do. Everybody that's not in church, everybody that's not praying, everybody that's not a Christian needs to decide to turn it over to God. Right? Then what does the Bible say? Well, we could twist it around. We could do this, we could do that with it. But you see, there's scriptures that backs up scripture. I won't use one scripture unless there's five or six more that backs it up. I learned that early. You got to have backup scriptures. So, what does Matthew 7:24 say? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, I liken him to a wise man built his house upon a rock. Now, Joel says there's multitudes, that's many, and multitudes, that's many more, in the valley of decision. People are in the valley of decision. And you don't agree with people because it'll cause them to go to hell if they're not right. You don't agree with them. You only agree with the Word of God if it's in the book. What was it that Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or setteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Then he's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. Huh? You see, when we look at something, trying people making decisions, let's just look at some of these things. People trying to make a decision, what's right or what's wrong? Well, legally, a man marrying a man is legally right, ain't it? It's legally, but it's scripturally is wrong. It's two left shoes. Huh? Legally, it's right to take a baby that's being born and kill it. But with God, that's murder in the first degree. But legally, see, the reason people are so messed up anymore, there's so many legal things and so many things that people call moral that's not moral. They made a little joke about Cody has having a boyfriend. Well, back when I was a boy, I had boyfriends. But it has a different meaning now because people have messed it up. They think the wrong thing. But you folks, you just keep on, you're both boys, so you keep on having friends. Just get the God view on it. What does God say? Homosexuality is legally all right, but biblically, it's wrong. It's one of the most worst sins in the Bible. It's what got a city, Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed. Today it lies at the bottom of the lake. Today, there's nothing comes off of it. The water evaporates fast as the Jordan River runs into it. I've been there. You stick your hand in that Dead Sea, and your hand feels nasty. I couldn't wait. I stuck my hand down, and somebody said, stick your hand down in there when I was over there. I did, and I said, need to get someplace to wash this off my hand. I never had such a feeling on my hand in my life. It was terrible. You know why? Sodom and Gomorrah lies at the bottom of that. Look at the decision. Our children are facing all kinds of decisions. The government's facing all kinds of decisions. Every family's facing all kinds of decisions. It's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Over there in the Mideast, they're facing all kinds of decisions. There are ones at war with another, another's at war with someone else, and another's at war with somebody else. They've killed 80-some thousand of their own people in Syria. It's time to make a decision, but they won't do it. It's time for our country to make some decisions. 40-some different kinds of Bibles? Let's see now. Here's what most people say. Let's see which one I like the best. Oh, boy. Huh? I have decided that there's just one that works. That's not a decision. It's decided. So decided means without what? A doubt. Now that's what the word decided means. That means that you've made a decision that without a doubt, decided. I've decided. So when you make your decision without a doubt, no doubt, then you're operating in what? Faith. Faith in God, what song says, will move the mighty mountain. Faith in God will calm the troubled sea. Let's go a little bit further with this. When you made the right decision and decided something, it's not hesitating or wavering. Doesn't James say something in chapter 1, verse 6, about that our faith has to be unwavering? Not one day it's in and the next day it's out. So let's look at something else here. And on an unwavering course of action. So, decided something, you're on an unwavering course of action. Action. What does that word action mean? That you're doing something. When you call in action, you know, if you're in action overseas, you're in battle. There's a battle going on. How many knows that there's a battle going on out here? All over the world, there's a battle. Every city, every town. Every household's having to fight it. Every person's having to fight it. Everybody's having to either stand up or surrender. Some have thrown up the white flag and said, take us over. I've fought it long enough. I'll tell you what, I've just begun to fight. and you need to be just beginning to fight. We're going to have to fight the good fight of faith and get down to business and make some quality decisions. And not only quality decisions, we've got to decide. When you walk up to somebody that's a rabble-rouser telling you lies, you have to decide, wait a minute here. I can't have no fellowship with darkness. One fellow told another fellow one time, he said, here, take a drink of this wine. And the guy said, oh, no, that's an alcoholic beverage. He said, you can't drink of that. He said, the Bible says that you could drink a little wine for the stomach's sake. How many knows it does say that? But how many knows this, that the wine they drank over there for their stomach's sake was what was called a sour wine, and it had absolutely no alcohol content in it whatsoever. It was a sour wine. And you go down to the liquor store here, and I never was one that drank wine even when I was in sin. I didn't like it. But anyhow, well, you go down to the liquor store and you get a bottle of wine, and it'll say 16% alcohol added or 20% alcohol added, depending on the what kind of wine it is. How many believes that that's godly? That's not for the stomach's sake. That's for the man's lustful desire. So there was many folks then will go into that. That instead of having making decisions with God and making decisions with the Spirit and with the Word of God, they make decisions because of lust, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. So lust, when lust conceives, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. See, sin is the blame for all death. Jesus is in charge of all life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So, unwavering on this course of action. And we got to take a position reached after consideration and unwavering firmness of character or action. It's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Many, many. Just anything you go about today is in a valley of decision. Politically, financially. How many knows our nation is to a place it's financially in a valley of decision. Should we borrow $4 more trillion and spend it? Or should we start paying our debt? What do you think if our nation has set an example before us of spending everything that they can and not paying the national debt, what kind of a, does that set before our youth to find young men like that? That teaches us that the nation don't pay its debts. They just borrow more money. Do you know what most people in this country is? They've borrowed on their credit cards till they can't no longer borrow. They're maxed out. Most people, their credit cards maxed out. And isn't that wisdom? But they're in a valley of decision. Should I borrow? Well, then after a while, they get together these credit cards, and then they borrow enough money to get them under control. Start right out the same old thing again. That's what our nation is teaching us. That's not the way it is. We're to pay our honest debts. Hello. As long as I'm here, we're going to teach the truth. We pay our honest debts. If we don't pay our honest debts, we are a crook. That's the decision. If we borrow from something, we have to pay it back. So that's where our nation is. That's its teaching. Let's look at the churches. It ain't no telling how many denominations there are anymore of churches. But back in the biblical days after Jesus came and Paul was setting up churches and Peter and different ones, here's what the church had. It was the church at Ephesus. It was the church at Philadelphia. There's 7 churches named there. But they were all following the leadership of the church at Jerusalem. It was just one church. There's still just one church. We might name them different things, like they did then, Bible Way, Assembly of God, Church of God, Pentecost Church of God, Catholic, Presbyterian, whatever that you want to name it. But the Lord only recognized, he has decided there's only one. And that church is saved by the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. The church of the Lord does good. went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, we want everybody that's oppressed of the devil to be healed, but we have to have the Holy Ghost in it. That's why everybody needs it. Somebody said, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? No, I don't believe that either. I believe if you're washed in the blood, you can make it, but wouldn't it be wonder if you made it with a whole lot of blessings behind it? Come on in now, good and faithful servant. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. How many would like to have a crown? That goes along with it if we've kept the faith, if we've done it right. Come on in now, good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Not going to be rewards handed out to people that's all messed up all the time. I guarantee you, you start down the road here just like you can't Donovan and every other place in the whole country. Start asking this about this person. What do you think about that person? What do you think about that person? And you won't get a good answer from hardly anybody. They'll pick out something bad to transport into you. Never thinking about something good. How many knows that this is something good about people too? And how many knows one process of growing, if we can allow Christ to grow in us, the good that's in us will outgrow that which is bad. How many really would like to get better, big enough to have God in there? Which he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So there's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. I want you to think about all these youth that are deceived today by people that using them for the wrong purpose. Come on into the church. Play all the rock music you want. Turn your blue lights on, your yellow lights, and your this light and that light and something else. That's wrong. That's wrong. Come on in the church and make a decision for Jesus. And if you make a decision for Jesus while you're young, you'll make the right decisions in your marriage. One young man that we've worked with, Brother Abrams' son, he's 21 years old. He's getting ready to get married. He's been listening. He came to me the other day. He said, Brother Buckner, I want to get one of those books on marriage that you wrote. I've got a thick book on marriage and all that. He said, I want to get one of them. I said, I'm glad you came in. I'm going to give you one of them. They usually sell for about $15, but I'm going to give you one of them. And then I got to counsel with him a little bit. Of course, he's been following my ministry for years. He trusts me that I'll guide him straight and right. He's getting ready to get married, and he wants it to be right. He's going to make a concrete decision. I said, now, that's a decision, and you have to decide that you have made this decision. You and your wife read this book. You work your marriage out, and you'll have a happy marriage, a long marriage, a happy family, a family that can combat anything that comes against you. Nothing shall stand. How many knows he said nothing shall stand before you? That's what he's told Joshua. Nothing shall stand before you. All the days of your life, he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Let's turn our Bible right now real quickly to Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 14. And Joshua speaks to the people after they get through the wilderness. He's led them into the promised land. And there's a little bit of uproar. One's thinking this. One, see, that's it. One thinks this and another thinks something else. How many know that we're all supposed to be of the same mind? Huh? And whose mind is supposed to be in it? Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if we've all got the same mind, we're together. But if one's got a carnal mind, another's got the Jesus mind, I'm going to tell you, we're separated. We're divided. Somebody said, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. Don't think he did. Well, if you don't think anything's wrong with it, well, then why did they hide to do it? Huh? Right? You don't hide something that's right and you think it's right. So Joshua's addressing these people here, talking to them about what he's going to do with his house and what they need to do with theirs. And listen to what he says here. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in truth, and put away the gods which thy fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now what's he saying here? There's people that's getting into a multitude of decisions. People that they don't know what to do, and they begin to kind of dabble a little bit with sin. Kind of mess around with this and mess around with that a little bit. And he said, now therefore fear ye the Lord and serve him. Now let's think about this also. If we serve the Lord, The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. If we're serving the Lord, that's what God wants us to do, to serve Him. And if it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if we've made a decision that we're going to decide and decide that God is God and we're going to serve Him, then we have to lay aside these other gods. How many know lots of folks got little gods everywhere? Some folks' God is their automobile. Some's God is their house. And some's God is a telephone. And some's God is this, and they serve it all day. What is your God? We're going to serve Him, or we're going to serve the Lord? As for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. Verse 16 says, and the people answered and said, I want you to notice, that statement that Joshua made settled it down, and because the people listened. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is He that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And the people spoke up then and said, we're going to do the same. We don't want to serve the other gods. We don't want to go back to what we had before the flood. We don't want to go back into sin. We want to be what God intended for us to be when Noah built the ark and when Joshua led us into the promised land. That's what we want to be. Multitudes, multitudes, many and many in the valley of decision. They are the Lord near in the valley of decision. So, unwavering service to the Lord. Service means anytime you see somebody that's a dedicated Christian and has decided that regardless of what anybody else does, and I don't care what somebody else tries to say, we're going to serve the Lord. What do you think? They're going to serve the Lord. So service ties in with deciding. What was it Joshua said? As for me and my house, our decision is, and we've decided to serve the Lord. We are going to serve the Lord. That's a decision everybody needs to make. And it will bring revival in a community. It'll bring revival in home. It'll bring revival in the hearts of everybody that decides that. It's a quality some people in the charismatic realms calls it a dedicated decision. But I don't think they know what one is because they haven't decided yet how to make a decision. If we just come to church and everybody does what he wants to do, have we made a decision? Have we decided how things ought to be? No. Let's just say there was a time when the people all done what was right in whose eye? In their own eye. I think it's all right. I think it's all right. No, I'm not preaching this to anybody or about anybody even around here or nothing like that. But this message needs to go out to everybody. The people needs to make some dedicated deciding on how to make decisions. How do we make decisions? And we have to be undivided to make a decision. You and your companion has to be together to make a decision or decide. Ain't she part of it? Ain't he part of it? Ain't the children part of it? Gather the children around and say, look now, the dad and mom's decided we're going to do it this way. We're going to serve the Lord. We just heard from God. We've just read it in the Bible. And we're going to do it according to the Bible. We're not going to do it according. Well, that church over there does it. Well, you're not in that church over there. You're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that other family over there, they're doing all kinds of stuff like that. They go to church. That's not the point whatsoever. The point is are we serving God? Are we dedicated? Are we amongst the multitudes and multitudes that's in the valley of decision, or are we amongst the multitude of believers that says, whatever God says, I'll do it? Remember, I want to make you a little point here. They was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and they didn't have no wine. So Jesus was there. This was his first miracle. They had no wine. The celebrities and all these. They were running out of wine. I don't believe it was wine that had alcohol content added, but they had no wine. And Jesus said, you get these here vases, these here vessels, and you pour them full. What was it his mother said for them to do? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know what? They done what he said, and it worked. It worked. It worked. God has been dealing with me so much in the last 2 or 3, 4 years on healing. But he's put me through the steps, believe you me. I had this thing that come in my throat here, and it had been there for years, and it's felt like sandpaper. It was big around as nearly as the end of my finger here. And they said, we got to cut it out, and told me all the bad stuff. And we didn't have to cut it out. When we got down to business with God and really prayed and sought God, and it looked like all hope was gone. It looked like everything was gone. That very night, me and her knelt down at the house and prayed. And at 2:56, we got it down to the minute. 2:56 in the morning, I woke up and I felt something under my tongue, and I had high fever. I had a very much of inflammation and all that. And when I went and looked in the mirror in the bathroom, and there that thing lay. It came out. But the main thing that impressed me more than anything, the fever left immediately. The inflammation left immediately. I got up and ate a good breakfast. We drove 125 miles to church that morning. I preached a sermon that morning. I preached a sermon that night. And it's all gone to this day. And when I go back to Columbia for examination, they always say, is that still all right? Ain't a sign of it. You shake your head. They don't really believe it. But what else can they do? And then I had a knee. And, you know, it went bad. And they tell me I'm going to have to cut sit there here, put a new knee in and all that. Well, I went through some pain a while, but I want to tell you something. It's all right now. Then I was going up some steps in a revival in Kansas, and I twisted the other knee. Now I got 2 bum knees, and I'm walking on a walker. I went to camp. Everybody said, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? Of course, it's wonderful to have to explain to everybody what exactly happened to you. That takes a little bit of your time, doesn't it? And I said, well, I'm recovering. That's what I said. I'm recovering. You know, my legs are just, Andy, I'm right along with my legs just about as strong as they ever was now. On that one knee, there's just a little bit of balance problem, but it's straightening up too. You know, when you get a kneecap falls out of place and you go around on that a little bit of while, it kind of gets you off balance. I ain't done any of those things. Done none of them. I decided that I was going to count on him. I decided. We make some decisions, and we really need to make some decisions. What is there to decide? I wrote down this evening when I was praying on this and studying. I took a long time studying today. Good day to study. No church. Everything's quiet. But I asked myself a question, or God had me to ask myself a question. What is there to decide? I'll ask you the question now. What kind of decision do you think you have? I'll tell you what's to decide. Everything. I want you to get this. Everything must be decided by the Lord. When I buy a car, I go listen to it, and I listen to what God said. And I've told the story so many times. I bought one at one time that had a little peck in it, and I didn't want to buy it. And then every time I walk away from it, God said, that's a car. Finally turned around and listened to God and went back and bought it. It was over 250,000 miles. I had that little peck still in it. Had a wreck with it. Took the motor out of it and put it in another car. Drove it a long time. Still tick. Gave it to my daughter. She drove it around, and finally sold it to somebody. And I was at Winona, Missouri one day filling up with gas, and I heard a car pull in behind me. And went tick, 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 tick. I said to the person, I said, where did you get that car? He told me. I said, well, I owned that car years ago, and that little tick in there almost kept me from buying that car. But you see, I listened to God, and that car got over 300,000 miles without overhauling it. That little tick. See, we got to hear from God. When I feel good about something, I know that's God, because the devil ain't going to let you feel good about anything, unless you know you get drunk or something like that, and you feel good for 6 or 7 hours, and then you got a hangover for a week. I guess some of you know about that. I do. So the day of the Lord is near. I want to kind of close out here. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. See, here's what's happening right now, church. we're not got much time. The day of the Lord is near. Our nation don't know what to do. Our leaders don't know what to do. Our churches don't know what to do. Preachers, most of them don't know what to do. They think just open up and have a little bit more of the world. I don't know. Okay. We got to get the world out of the church. Huh? You read 1 John chapter 2, and it'll tell you about the sins of the world. We got to get that out. We got to get it out of our lives, out of our homes, and out of everything. Decisions. So we must decide that everything pertains to God. How much did he create? He created everything. So he feels responsible for it. So let's look at this right here just a minute. What is there to decide? We'll say everything. Everything in our life should be we should hear from God. What we do, where we go, what we say, what we think, what we hear, everything. And it said, decisions, so these decisions, and they require our choices. Let's see now. I want to get this plain. Deciding and decisions require what? Bobby, you're interested in this, actually. What does decisions require that pertain to you? Your choice. How many got that? His decisions require choice. His choice. It wasn't God's choice. It was your choice. A lot of people do things and then they blame it on God. No! It's everything that's wrong, you made the choice. You may have fought a few battles, but if you made the choice is that. Choose you this day whom you may serve. But as for me and my house, is that what Joshua said? I just read it. Choose you this day whom you may serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, I made a choice. See, we have to make right choices. And if we make wrong choices, we're going to suffer for it. Meaning, let God make the decision. For him and they were right, which means to serve the Lord. Matthew 7:24. Our decision is to serve the Lord. That decision is a right decision. Our decision is to hear from God. That's the right decision. Our decision is to walk with God. That's the right decision. And all these things are right decisions, or they're wrong decisions. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And that comes down to decide. I have decided. It's no longer a valley of decision. How many knows a valley of decision? It don't say the mountaintop of decision. It says multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, and the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision,